Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
Today we are going to talk about what it looks like to abide in God. There's this word that's used in several places in Scripture. You see it in a lot of places, especially in 1 John and in John 15, where you're going to read for us in a minute, Scott. This whole idea of what abiding means, this concept of where home is. You talk about a little bit about this in a sermon you did recently, Scott, but this idea that you have a place that's called home. We're all used to this place where we are comfortable, where we feel like we can let our guard down. And then we come to this point of understanding that God can be that place for us. And then we truly can understand what it looks like to abide with him on a day-to-day basis.
You know, it's interesting when you go to the book of John, we're privy to a conversation that really happens between Jesus and his disciples. It's the last week of his life. There's only a few days left. And we understand what's happening at the end of the week. And Jesus certainly knew what was coming at the end of the week. And here are some things that he wanted to get across to his disciples. And one of those things is found in John 15th chapter, the idea of abiding. And he uses the opportunity to talk about this vine and the fact that he's the vine and God, the Father, is the vine dresser and that we're the branches. And he begins, I'm just going to start reading verse 4 of John 15th chapter. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and I and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, it's a kind of a lengthy reading, but the whole point is you read these seven verses, and 10 times, Tyler, he uses the word abide in the New American Standard. This idea to what you were talking about, this living, this rest that we can have of being in him. One of the things that he wanted to get across to them, even though he was going to suffer greatly, was the fact that they needed to make sure that they were connected to him, that they had a relationship with him, and therefore us have a relationship with him, and how wonderful it is to be able to have that rest in him.
Right, and exactly. That whole concept, it's hard for us to grasp sometimes what it looks like from a day-to-day basis, a practical basis, to abide. But really, it's about dwelling in his word, to dwell the same way that God dwells or tabernacles among us, as John the first chapter will talk about. We have this incredible opportunity for this mutual relationship that God wants to live in us and that we can live in him. The fact that Colossians will call it that our life is hidden with Christ in God, and that we can be supported in this way, that we don't, God doesn't need anything from us.
Right.
He does not need anything from us at all. But the fact is, he desires this relationship from us so much. And I think it's so incredible to see what some of the scriptures say when it gets to that.
You know, it's interesting to me, Tyler, when you think about it from that perspective, that I heard one time somebody talking, and it just dawned on me the idea that you don't need to convince God to connect to you. He wants to connect to you so much, but he takes the time to try to convince us that we need to connect to him. And mm-hmm. It reminds me so much of Psalm 8. I love Psalm 8 because David, I can imagine going outside and it's dark out. And for us, sometimes because of the light pollution, we can't see all the stars. We can see some, but nothing like he was going to be able to see unless you live way out, kind
mm-hmm.
of a thing.
All right.
But you look up and you just imagine everything that he saw, and it just dawned on him how small we are, just like it does me, and just mm-hmm. I'm sure like it does you. When you go and see that. And he says, "What is man that you even think of us? Or the son of man that you even take thought of us? But you've made us a little bit lower than the angels or of God," depending on the translation that you have. The idea that he even takes the time to even think of us. But then you take the next step and you go to Psalm 139. And this idea that he is talking about specifically, David, again, writing this psalm about the relationship that we can have with the Father. And as he's talking, and it's very personal, it's very much the relationship I have. It's one thing to say, you know, that what's the thought that you even think of mankind? But then he takes it to the next step, and I'm just going to read 17 and 18 of Psalm 139. It says, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. The idea that he thinks about me, that he thinks about you, that you are always on his mind, that he is always thinking about you, even when you're asleep, you know, just this, it's more than the pieces of sand, the grain of sand that are found on the earth. He thinks about you all the time, how blessed we are to be able to have a relationship with him, and how blessed we are that he wants to have that kind of relationship with us.
Right. You see that same thought echoed in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Here at West Mason, we have a weekly Bible study, and we go out to a community coffee shop, and we've been going through the epistles of Paul here recently, and recently we were just in 2 Thessalonians, wrapping up the second chapter here, and it ends in this way that, you know, it wasn't a verse that maybe a lot of us have read, or we skip right through it because it's kind of concluding thoughts as he's transitioning to the end, the last chapter of this book, but it just strikes you so much when you take the time to read these verses blow by blow, and you get to this point where Paul is encouraging them to stand fast, and he says in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation," or comfort is that word there, "in good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." I love the fact that you can use that "our" there, and it's this collective understanding of, yes, for God's people, that is certainly true, but to what you were just saying, Scott, we've got to make this personal and understand there are so many times when I can struggle, when all of us can struggle with, does God even care what I'm going through right now? I feel like he is totally asleep or just turned the other way, doesn't see anything that I'm going through at this time. Understand that you are his child, that no matter if you're a rebellious child, if you're a confused child, if you're struggling to serve him better, whatever the case may be, he is madly in love with you. And you put your own words into, or you put yourself into the words here of 2 Thessalonians 2. "Now may my Lord Jesus Christ himself and my God and Father, who has loved me and given me everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort my heart and establish me in every good word and work." That is so profound to understand that he has not given us a set of rules or instructions for this life and then says, "All right, we'll see you at the end. Good luck." He is with us every single step of the way. And this idea that he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the Lord will provide, it's just so incredible to think about.
It's so, I mean, it blows my mind to even consider the fact that he not only was willing to save us, to give us the opportunity for salvation, but that he actually loves us, to that point that you're making. And that not only that part of it, it's the idea for you and I to make sure we're connected to him, that we have that relationship with him. There's a lot of times, Tyler, to the point that you're making, is that there's a lot of people that quite frankly struggle with whether or not God loves them. They've done some things in their past that they're not proud of, which we all have. Mm-hmm. And we get kind of caught up that God will never forgive me of those things. Yes, he will. He loves you so much that it's not about an earning. It's not about you being worthy. It's about you having a relationship and him desiring to have a relationship with you. And the idea that he wants to provide for you. He wants to provide this way of to salvation. He wants to provide a way of escape of the various things that we go through. And he wants to walk through the difficulties of this life with us hand in hand. And that's so interesting when you think about that name and the name that you just used, Jehovah Jireh, the idea where Abraham is about to sacrifice Isaac, and this the whole piece that he understood that God was going to provide for him.
Yeah, well, and especially when you think about the vine illustration that we just read about in John 15, this whole concept of we try to force the fruit so much. We're trying to be, we as the branches are trying to make fruit happen on our own a lot of times, which is such, it's so backwards, especially right. When the context of Jesus' words there in that 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, to understand that our priority, to what you've said before, is to connect with the vine. That is, when we are connected with the vine, when we're plugged in, when we are drawing our sustenance and our strength and our inspiration and our motivation from the vine, that's when we are going to yield the fruit. That's when God provides the fruit. You talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, for instance, and love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these different things that you can list off there. You look at places in Scripture just throughout the whole Bible, and you look at where does it say that God is going to give me something or God is going to provide his children something. You see the same thing in John 14, verse 27, for example. Peace. He gives you comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Power, love, and self-control, all three of those are found in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Again, you don't have to be flipping in your Bibles with us, but I encourage you to go back to some of these verses or just do a word study on your own time and look at all the things that God provides for us, to the point of he even provides us a way of escape from sin. Again, he is giving us everything we need that pertains to living a life that is pleasing to God, is what Peter will say in his second letter in chapter 1. It's just such an encouragement to know that the way that God provides is that he provides himself. The way that he is Jehovah Jireh is he is the all-sufficient one who gives of himself, and so we need nothing else except him to live this life in a way that's pleasing to him. And you think about all the different ways that that can happen. I mean, God provides abundantly through Christ. I just want to end this episode by reading Romans chapter 8. Again, if you're in the car or mowing the grass or something, you know, I just want you to listen to these words. Hopefully sometime if you go back and listen, or maybe if this is your first time through and you've got a Bible open, I encourage you to read along with me. I'm out of the New King James Version at this point, but whatever your version, your translation is saying, follow along with me in Romans chapter 8. In verse 31, we'll read here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's this incredible idea that God has given us the vine to plug into. The way that we connect to God, the way that we know and are known by the vine dresser is through Jesus Christ, that perfect vine that we can be branches that are plugged in. Yes, that scripture is going to tell us that sometimes we're going to be pruned. Sometimes there's going to be some painful things we have to go through, but it's because God wants to shape us and mold us to look more and more like that vine, that healthy, thriving, God-pleasing life, that soul that is so precious in his sight.
Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.